Today, we celebrate the 40th anniversary of punk. And let me just say, yes, we are aware that for some of you, those are fighting words. Some punks will say the movement and the music began in 1974. Some will say it was 1976. So, enough. We're saying 1975, and it started with this band. Right now. The Sex Pistols, Anarchy in the UK. You know, for 40 years, punk has influenced not just music, but fashion, film, art, and of course, hairstyles. So what makes punk punk? Music journalist Legs McNeil is the guy who named it and chronicled it, and along with Gillian McCain wrote the book on the history of punk. It's an oral history called Please Kill Me. Steve Paulson wanted to know more.
Punk is marking its 40th anniversary, so it would seem to be a good time to get some perspective. And Legs, let me start with you. Was this just a passing cultural moment, or did punk really matter?
I think it really mattered because of the time period that it exploded. And what had happened is that the gay revolution, the women's revolution, and the anti-war revolution, everything had been so politically correct at that time. And when the war ended in 1975, spring of 1975, is really kind of when punk exploded.
So Gillian, let me fast forward to now. Does punk still matter?
It seems more relevant than ever. I mean, it's amazing to me that after 40 years, to be a punk is still considered rebellious and still kind of a badge of honor.
So you have both been the chroniclers of this whole movement. You put out a big book about it. Is there one piece of punk history or even maybe a quote that sums it all up for you?
Gillian has one that she wants to read to you.
Okay, sure.
Okay, this is Iggy Pop. He's talking about Main Man is David Bowie's management company, who was managing the Stooges at this time. Iggy Pop, Main Man were skillful at putting us off. Once the album Raw Power was done, they wouldn't tour us, they would not let us play. We were supposed to do an American tour, but it ended up being one gig in Detroit. But the people loved it. The gig was very successful artistically, but of course I had a problem at the radio station. Everything was a problem with me. Huh. I was a problem. I am a problem. What happened was by the time I finished Raw Power, my standards were different than other people's. That's the only way I can put it. I wanted the music to come out of the speakers and just grab you by the throat and just knock your head against the wall and just basically kill you. That's what I wanted, and it never did that enough for me. No matter what I did, I couldn't get it. I couldn't get the treble to hurt enough. I couldn't get the bass to hit you enough. I couldn't get the beat hard enough, and so on and so on and so on. So I kept doing mix after mix after mix until I was crazier and crazier. But still just wasn't hard enough, you know? Basically, I'd lost perspective. Artists do this. And probably the drug thing blew everything out of proportion. So I went to the radio station. I don't remember why. I'm just not the kind of person that can go like door-to-door salesman. Hi, I'm really jolly. It's great to be in the rock and roll business. Here's my new tape. Ha, ha, ha. Everything's got to be like something's happening, right? So I went there and took off all my clothes inside the radio station and started talking on the air. Yeah, I'm naked here.
So the point, I mean, just based on that Iggy Pop quote, it's in your face, over the top, too much to the point where you almost can't stand it.
Never too much enough.
Yeah, never too much enough. That's a great title.
That's a great title.
Yeah. Legs, you're the guy who coined the word punk, right?
Yes. Yes, I am, actually. I just, John Holmstrom, who was my partner at Punk Magazine, said, I want to call it Teenage News. And I thought that was a stupid title. I said, well, why don't we call it punk?
So you wanted a word to capture something new that was happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it seemed to fit because it clicked right away.
Also, weren't you kind of thinking in the context of like Kojak?
Oh, yeah. Because on TV shows, when they'd catch the bad guy, they'd say, ah, you dirty punk.
Yeah.
You know, it was it was something that everyone had called me my whole life. You know, you're nothing but a punk. You'll never accomplish, you know.
This was a celebration of the guys who Kojak was beating up on his TV show.
Yes, exactly. And the music of the 70s was all about peace and love and what we desired the world to be. And when punk came along, it said, this is the way we are. And that's what was so appealing to me and so many other people. And the idea of going to a club and people playing their own music that they wrote and did themselves was just such a revolutionary concept. And then, you know, when I went to CBGB's to see the Ramones, they were so great. They were just fantastic. I mean, it was you know, love at first sight.
It's interesting you say that because, you know, one of the things a lot of people say about punk music was the music wasn't that great. It was, you know, people who were just kind of often self-taught. They would just get up there. They had great presence. But was the music great?
Yes, the music was great. And I think anyone who says that has not seriously listened to it, you know?
Well, and I mean, we should talk about the drugs. I mean, there were a lot of drugs there. And I guess you have to ask.
Still are.
Well, drugs and punk, were they part of the same thing?
Well, I think the music's always defined by the drugs you're taking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're taking, I mean, CBGB's is kind of a heroin and whiskey scene, you know?
As opposed to, say, maybe more of the acid scene on the West Coast?
Right, exactly, you know?
So just play that out for me a little bit. Okay, so if heroin was like the drug of choice of the punks in New York City, I mean, how did that shape the culture? How did that shape the music?
I'm living on Chinese rocks. All my best things are in hock. I'm living on a Chinese rock. Everything is in the pawn shop. Come on, there you go. I mean, you know, come on. My girlfriend's crying in the shower stall. I used to take showers in that shower stall at Arturo's.
Now, a lot of people died because they OD'd, but was there really anything wrong with all those drugs?
Oh, you know, this was before we learned about addiction and 12-step programs and, you know, all the other adult subjects that came in later on. If you were going to survive it, you had to get sober. You had to stop, you know, living this life that you were doing. I mean, we could never have written Please Kill Me if I didn't stop drinking and taking drugs.
I mean, that's a fascinating point. I mean, you're basically saying this was intense, alive, but you could only do that for so long. It was going to kill you otherwise.
Well, you know what? But when you go adventuring and when you go exploring, there's going to be casualties. There just is. Some people are not going to make it. And I think we want to make the world so safe with this giant childproof aspirin cap over the top of it that it kind of says, don't explore, don't go looking around because something bad might happen to you. Well, you know what? You're not going to get out of here alive anyway, so you might as well, you know, go exploring and go check things out.
Yeah. Now, I mean, one of the things about hip-hop is, I mean, craft is really celebrated. I mean, you know, the great hip-hop artists, I mean, they care about making great music. Now, you've already made the case that, you know, we should think about punk as, you know, the height of it was great music as well. But I'm wondering if the aesthetic standards were as high in punk.
Oh, come on. That's such a... I can't say it, but your prejudices are coming out in here. And, you know, you obviously don't think... Rock and roll is about three chords and, you know, saying up yours. And however you do that to achieve that is great. I don't want to walk around with you. I don't want to walk around with you. I don't want to walk around with you. So why you want to walk around with me? It doesn't get any better than that.
I mean, what I find so interesting about what you're saying is I think sort of in the popular conception, there was this really strong nihilistic element to punk. But I mean,
the popular perception of punk was that media in this country did not like it and it never sold because it never was given a chance. okay? It was never. Why wasn't the Ramones played on top 40 radio when these are the premier pop songs of the 70s and 80s? Tell me why that is, that happened, and you'll get an answer from me.
Okay. I mean, you're still angry. You're angry at how our mainstream culture responded to punk. I mean, how it sort of wrote off punk, right?
Yeah, I'd say he is. He stepped away from the mic. But
I figured. I think he threw down his headphones earlier, didn't he?
Yeah, he's still he's angry that everything's not understood, and we all are.
Legs McNeil and Gillian McCain are the authors of Please Kill Me, The Uncensored Oral History of Punk. And Steve would like to dedicate this next song to Legs. It's Now I Want to Sniff Some Glue by the Ramones. Now I want to